Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, September 28th. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Minnesota's new Commissioner of Health is pledging to be an open leader whose decisions will be transparent. Dr. Sani Magnin replaces Diane Mandernach, who resigned after facing a storm of criticism over her decision to withhold data for a year on rare cancer deaths in Iron Range miners. Magnin said openness is very important to building trust. She said under her leadership, the health department will be as forthright as possible with the Minnesotans it serves. Minnesota Public Radio's Lorna Benson has more.
This is not an easy time to take the helm of the Minnesota Department of Health. Its credibility has been called into question, and insiders say staff morale is at an all-time low. But Dr. Sani Magnin says she is excited about her new job and the opportunity to work with some of the nation's brightest public health scientists and researchers.
The number of staff goes on and on who deserve medals for what they are doing behind the scenes every day to protect the health of Minnesotans.
When asked whether she could ever envision a scenario where she wouldn't share health risk data with the public, Magnin replied that she didn't want to speculate on what she might do in the future. She said there could be privacy issues at stake or concerns about the accuracy of the information in question. But Magnin said her extensive medical and scientific background would be an asset in helping her figure out what to do.
I always, as a physician and scientist, will be looking at data. I will be working with all those staff that I told you that are in the Minnesota Department of Health who are experts, who have committed themselves to public service, to actually be able to be that transparent about what we know and what we don't know to serve the citizens of Minnesota.
Magnin holds 3 degrees, an undergraduate degree in pharmacy, a PhD in medical chemistry, and a medical degree. She's been a staff physician at Regents Hospital in St. Paul and at the Minnesota Correctional Facility in Lino Lakes. She's currently president of the Institute for Clinical Systems Improvement, a nonprofit healthcare quality improvement organization. Governor Pawlenty called her a stellar candidate with an incredible set of credentials.
She is extremely qualified for the job. She has the right heart for public service. And candidly, she's doing this at a big sacrifice because she wants to serve, and we're glad that she does.
Magnin says she will focus on making sure the state has a strong public health infrastructure. She's also interested in prevention. She said the state's 75-cent per pack tax increase on tobacco, approved in 2005, is a smart public health strategy. But when asked if she would support raising Minnesota cigarette tax even more, Magnin acknowledged the complexity of her new role.
I'm always in favor, but I recognize there are political times when that's the time to bring that forward, and there are times that they're not.
When it comes to abortion, Magnin describes herself as pro-life. But she says her views won't cloud her professional obligations. Pawlenty said Magnin's views on abortion did not factor into his decision to give her the commissioner's job. Dr. Jim Hart worked with Magnin several years ago at a clinic in St. Paul. Hart says she is a good listener and an extremely hardworking person.
One of my lasting memories is to be still walking around the clinic at maybe 7:30, 8 or so in the evening, and Sani would still be on the computer there carefully detailing all the facts about some of the patients she had seen that day. So she's a very, very diligent and careful practitioner.
Magnin's appointment apparently met with approval among many attendees at a community health conference in Brainerd. John Finnegan is dean of the School of Public Health at the University of Minnesota.
I can tell you the general attitude up here is one of, oh boy, the nightmare may be over. And so many people are just really pleased with what the governor has done here. I think he's really hit a home run on this one.
Finnegan says Magnin's biggest challenge will be regaining the support of Iron Range legislators, who lost confidence in the department after the cancer data controversy. But he says Magnin appears to have the credibility to win them back. Lorna Benson, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
And now more about what's been going on behind the scenes at the health department. The new commissioner will have to win over the public, concerned lawmakers, and maybe most importantly, the disgruntled scientists and public health professionals inside the department who worry that the health of Minnesotans is at stake. Minnesota Public Radio's Tom Scheck has a look.
Diane Mandernach resigned after she was criticized for not releasing information on the cancer deaths of minors in northeastern Minnesota. But many people say problems with the Minnesota Department of Health go well beyond that specific case. Minnesota Public Radio News interviewed nearly two dozen past and present health department staffers. The consensus is that the commissioner's office has been more worried about bad publicity than good policy, and as a result, the department is far weaker than it used to be. Sources cite several reasons for the slide, including a lack of funding for research and prevention, a lack of commitment to science-based research, and a commissioner's office that micromanages the department. Most of those interviewed declined to be recorded for broadcast and asked that their names not be used. Past staffers who now work for nonprofits and county health departments said they were worried that the department would cut future funding as retribution. Current staffers said they were worried about being fired or suspended without pay. There is precedent. NPR News has learned that an epidemiologist program manager was suspended for a week without pay for something he wrote in the Disease Control newsletter in 2006. Rich Danilo wrote in that newsletter that the health commissioner decided to discontinue paper copies of it. The information was correct, but it was an embarrassment to Commissioner Mandernach. Danilo declined to comment, but didn't deny he had been suspended. Acting Deputy Commissioner Carol Wolverton confirmed that Danilo was suspended for several reasons. A legislative hearing in June also revealed that some health department staffers were reprimanded for putting controversial subjects in writing. During the hearing, DFL Senator John Marty asked Mary Manning, the director of the department's Disease Prevention and Control Division, if she was ever reprimanded.
It's not that anybody said I can't put anything in writing.
Right.
I have, but on certain issues, been discouraged from doing it, and I have been criticized for doing it.
Can I ask who criticized you?
My direct supervisor and the Commissioner of Health.
NPR News has also learned that department staffers have been reprimanded for speaking to reporters and members of the legislature. Diane O'Connor, who worked at the department from 2004 until earlier this year, said she was reprimanded for merely attending an event where lawmakers were present.
That surprised me because I didn't talk to any lawmakers. I was simply listening and taking in information. I don't know, there didn't seem to be any confidence on the part of supervisors above me that I'd be able to check myself and not say something stupid.
There have also been efforts to conceal funding shortfalls, delay reports, and scrub websites that include science that doesn't agree with Governor Pawlenty's political positions. Documents obtained by NPR show that the health department shut down a website that provided health information to students. Notes and emails show that education department officials and the governor's office heard complaints about materials on the site. Other notes from health managers suggested deleting references to gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender groups. The site is up again, but those references are gone. Another note from a manager suggests the website should say that abstinence is one way to prevent sexually transmitted diseases. One staffer declined to go into the details, saying it's, quote, extremely political. A health department spokeswoman responded by saying the agency deleted several outdated links on the site. She said abstinence and family planning should go hand in hand. Other documents show that the department deleted portions of a report that cited a lack of funding for services to prevent sexual violence. In fact, the department decided to trash 3,000 printed copies of the initial report that had been printed at a cost of $2,600 to the taxpayers. Carol Wolverton, with the health department, said they trashed the initial report because officials wanted to make sure the methodology was right. But notes on earlier drafts show a key concern was funding. The final report does not include references to a lack of funding for victim services. The final version also changed its recommendations to lawmakers. The draft suggested policymakers increase funding for victim services. The final report says policy recommendations aimed at sexual violence before it occurs should be vigorously pursued. Wolverton says the final language isn't that different.
We actually made it a stronger statement. We oftentimes will say, well, we need more funding. Well, this actually included, we make a recommendation that we not only need to vigorously pursue and adopt the funding, but we need to sustain it.
Others don't see it that way. DFL Senator John Marty of Roseville said he thinks the department changed the language because of a tight budget.
We're seeing more and more times when the department is failing to do the right thing.
Marty is the chair of the Senate's Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee. He says he's shocked and disappointed that staff have been suspended without pay, that copies of reports were printed and then destroyed, and that websites were scrubbed.
The more you dig, the more you would find. And I think every one of these cases, the story's been the same thing. The professionals in the department have done a good job. It's the political leaders of the department who are steering it off course.
Marty says the DFL-controlled Senate will not confirm a commissioner who won't fix the health department. He says he's worried that the department is no longer focused on protecting the public's health. One retired health department staffer agrees. Wayne Carlson, who retired as assistant director of community health in 2004, says he's worried the department is losing ground on important public health issues.
More pregnancies, more abortions, more young smokers. And I don't think we've even made a dent in the minority communities and their health status.
A former health commissioner says lawmakers and the governor have to take a share of the blame for the health department's problems. Jan Malcolm, who was health commissioner under former Governor Jesse Ventura, declined to talk about former health commissioner Diane Mandernach and how she handled the department. But she says policymakers have not put a priority on public health.
Folks in public health get accused of sort of having a chip on our shoulders because there's never enough funding for public health concerns. And I would sort of say, yeah, we acknowledge that that's true. We do have a chip on our shoulders, but we think we've earned it. I mean, there's just been sort of a systematic underappreciation of the importance of public health.
Malcolm says the commissioner of health is one of the most difficult jobs in state government. She says a good commissioner will have to advocate for the governor's policies while listening to the concerns of scientists and public health professionals. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday. All health department, all the time today. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you again here on Monday.